Malachim Aleph Perek Yud Pasuk Yud Ches, perhaps the peak of Shlomo HaMelech's ostentation, wealth, and power is his throne. The great throne of Shlomo HaMelech is legendary and occupies a special place in Jewish tradition. And we'll try to at least give some of the details as they are brought down in the Medrash, which goes wild with this. And so, Pasuk Yud Ches, Vayas HaMelech Kisei Shein Gadol. The king made a great throne of shein, of ivory, which was as rare then as it is now, coming from the tusks of elephants. Ivory was one of the great pillars of the triangle trade of the 1500s through the 1800s. It was plundered from Africa for centuries. And here, Shlomo HaMelech has enough ivory to make a great throne by Itzapehu Zahav Mufaz. And he plated it with shining gold. Mavhik kimargalis, Rashi says, gleaming like a pearl with a shiny surface to it, as opposed to the soft gold that we saw before. I'm not sure how comfortable an ivory and gold throne would be to sit on, but of course comfort is not the point when you are overawing anybody who comes to the court to see Shlomo HaMelech in action. Yotes Sheish Ma'alos Lakise. There were six steps up to the throne. Virosh Agol Lakise Me'acharav. And a round headpiece in the back. The Mefarshim explain that the six steps up had, I'm not sure Kabbalistic significance is the right word, but had the definitive symbolic significance. They represented six commandments. The Medrash and the Mayim always bring down that a judge has to pay attention to. The mitzvos of the judge, not to pervert justice, lo sasur mishpat, not to show favoritism, not to take bribes, lo sikach shochad, not to plant a tree to worship, which is a commandment to the judge, not just to all people, as it is a separate commandment to us, not to set up a column to worship or to sacrifice an animal with a mum. Please excuse the interruption. The Solomonic society wants a word with how critical I'm being. The last commandments about planting a tree for Avodah Zarah or a column for Avodah Zarah or to sacrifice a behemoth with a mum are allegories that you shouldn't appoint somebody who's unfit to be a judge. And according to the Medrash, when the royal herald would announce you to the throne and you would be going up to see Shlomo HaMelech, anybody who was permitted to climb up the steps, each step he would call out the different commandments that a judge is supposed to keep. Others say that the six steps had to do with commandments for a king, not to have too many wives, not to have too many horses, not to have too much silver and gold. That seems rather an ironic thing to announce in the court of Shlomo HaMelech when you're climbing up the steps on a gold throne. But anyway, not to pervert justice, show favoritism, or to take shochad, to take bribes. So all of these steps had meaning, and all of the figures are going to have meaning. The yados mizeh umizeh el makom hashaves, and there were arms on each side of the place of sitting, makom hashaves, of the seat, which one would hope would have a cushion on it. Sitting on ivory encased in gold would be slippery, at the very least, probably difficult. Ushnayim aroyos omdim etzel hayados. And there were two lions standing beside the arms. Chaf ushnayim osar aroyim omdim shamal sheisham alos. Mizeh umizeh. And there were 12 more lions standing there on the six steps, one on each side. Lo nas echein l'chol mamlachos. There was no throne, nothing the like of this had ever been made in any of the kingdoms. Shlomo's incredible throne. And the Medrash brings down that there were other figures as well. Not just the 14 lions that are mentioned, but there were above the throne 12 more golden lions, 12 golden eagles, each lion facing an eagle and each eagle facing a lion, crouching animals on the steps along with the lions, On the first step, there was a lion and an ox, and there was a wolf and a lamb and a leopard and a goat and an eagle and a peacock and a cat and a chicken. That's my favorite one. On the fifth step, and a hawk and a dove, and all of this symbolism all up and down the throne. And there were gears and clockwork mechanisms to make everything move. And this is part of the fame of Shlomo's throne, that such a thing was even possible in the ancient world. There was a menorah, a candelabrum on top of the throne, with 14 branches. 7 branches engraved with the names Adam, Noach, Shem, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov. Eov in the center. And then on the other side, Levi, Kehas, Amram, Moshe, Aaron, Eldad, and Medad. With Chur in the middle of that one. So why these names? Why these people? Who knows? Shlomo is thinking deep thoughts beyond anybody else. All of it being lit. So he's got a huge chandelier up on top of everything else. There were golden chairs, one for the Kohen Gadol, one for the Sagan Kohen Gadol. There was a circle of 70 golden chairs for the members of the Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin's supposed to be 71, but the Medrash says 70. 24 golden vines shading the king. Date palms all around. Just magnificent. And they were affected by the weather, according to some Midrashim. When the wind is blowing, they would flash like lightning. They would shine like the rainbow. When Shlomo went up, the mechanisms would start. And the lion and the ox on the first step would reach out for him so that they would help him ascend and go up further. The famous image, if false Adim came to testify, that all of the animals would roar and howl and scream. And they would become so frightened that they wouldn't say anything untrue, because they would say, if we lie, all of these mechanical animals are going to kill us. What happened to this great throne? So Rechavam inherited it, but eventually Paronecho captured the throne and brought it back to Mitzrayim. And when he sat down on it, it mutilated his left leg, because he didn't know the secret of how to go up. And so he was called the Necho, the lame Pharaoh, and never tried to get on the throne again. And then allegedly the throne ended up in the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, and eventually Koresh, Cyrus of Persia, Alexander the Great. Antiphones ben Antiochus eventually took the ship, and it got damaged, took the throne. And so this throne had a long and storied history, and if you ever find it in an antique shop or in a government warehouse somewhere next to the Ark of the Covenant, by all means, don't try to sit on it, but, you know, do try to sell it. You'll probably make some good money. But again, Shlomo's throne, larger than life, and a big part, again, of the ostentation of what Shlomo frightened the world into when they saw him in person.